Welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And, man, I'm telling you, it's glad to be back on the air, man. I'm glad to be back on the air. Boy, y'all just don't know. Give a shout-out to Refine and Design and, of course, Renee Bass in the house in my chat room already. Hey, welcome to the show, y'all. I'm glad to see y'all here. Well, we got something really, you know, today I'm not even doing a song of the day. I'm not even doing a quote of the day. Yeah, it's just one of those days, you know what I mean? I'm not doing any of that today. I think today we just going to talk about what do you think. You know, and when I say what do you think, I mean, you know, what do you think about certain things, you know? What do you think about certain things? You know, a lot of times I pick a topic and we just go on and go on and talk about that. But sometimes it's good to know what's on your mind. You know, you the caller. You know, sometimes it's good to see what you're thinking about. So if you got something you want to talk about, tell me what you're thinking about. Just give us a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. Join us in the chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And those are all the ways you can participate, and we'd be more than happy to get you on the air, okay? Now, since we have all out the way, I have all that out of the way. Man, I'm telling you. Now, right now, I'm here in the Fort Hood area. Yes, I am. And, you know, I'm looking at the ceremony for the victims of the shooting last week. You know, now, oh, man. Then, of course, I say this all the time, y'all. Something is going on. It's not just, you know, sometimes they make it seem like it's a random this or a random that. Oh, this is not random. Somebody has a plan, an agenda, and they're slowly implementing it. We just I'm not going to say we're not bright enough. Sometimes we just don't want to believe it or don't want to see it. Let's see, Marine Guard shot to death by colleague at North Carolina base. Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. See, 5:30 p.m. Tuesday. That was yesterday. When a Marine fired on his colleague inside a guard shack at Camp Lejeune. You see? And this is, what, less than a week than what the shooting at Fort Hood? And y'all tell me, and y'all just saying it's just something that just happens, right? What do y'all think about that? I'm going to tell you what I think. I think it's hogwash. I do. I think that something is going on where these young soldiers are being implanted with some things, and you know, when it's time for it to happen, you know, they hit that secret word, that secret move, and next thing you know, pam, everybody's active. Yeah, I know some of y'all remember that movie, what was that movie? The Bourne Identity. Yeah, The Bourne Identity. Well, let me tell you something. Don't get it twisted now. That's just not a movie. That's just not Hollywood, all right? That is just not Hollywood. It's a whole lot of that going on. But, you know, normal Joe, such as ourselves, we have no idea what's going on. No, we really don't want to know, do we? I know. Look at this school stabbing spree. A student flashing two knives went on a stabbing rampage through the classrooms and halls of a high school outside Pittsburgh. And that was this morning. This morning. Golly. Look, at least 19 students and a security guard were hurt. You know? Wow. It's interesting. I know some of y'all are like, just coincidence. All this cannot be just coincidence. You know? And Canada, it was a stabbing in Canada yesterday. What is really going on, y'all? I know a lot of times we joke and say it's going to the hell in a handbasket, but dang, I guess it's surreal. You know, we just shooting up each other and stabbing each other. Is it now to the point where we do not value our own lives? You know, we do not value our own lives at all. You know. It's easy to just walk up on somebody and take their life and keep going. Or with nothing. Just because you're being dared to do it. Hey, how did we get there, people? How did we get here? What y'all think about that? Now, I do apologize for you may hear me sniffle a little bit, scratchy voice. You know, I'm battling the allergies, so y'all can work with me now. That's why we went on there yesterday, fighting allergies. Fighting allergies. Okay. But some other things we're going to be talking about today also is Texas thinking about adding Mexican-American Studies course. All right, they're thinking about adding a Texas. They're thinking about adding a Mexican-American study course. Now, y'all heard that, right? They're thinking about it. That's not saying they have done it. They are just thinking about it. You know, that is, wow. You know, why are we just thinking about it now? This shouldn't have been something that should have been done already. Oh, I forgot. These are, as we say, those are immigrants. You know, a lot of them don't belong over here. I'm just putting it out there, y'all. I'm just putting it out there. Yeah, I'm not screaming and hollering today. I'm not screaming and hollering today. You know, but, you know, Mexicans or Hispanics and Latino, hey, that's a question. What do y'all think about that? Is Hispanic, Latino, is that the same thing? Or, you know, how would you classify a Mexican? Mexican? Now, I know Mexican is not a nationality, I'm sure. I don't know. I'm just asking. But Texas, you know, they have the nerve to be thinking about including that in their school, in their school studies. And then, of course, it said Mexican-Americans. It didn't just say, you know, Mexicans. It said Mexican-American studies. They're thinking about adding that. Texas is, Texas School Board, the Texas Education Center. You know, they lost their mind. Heck yeah, I haven't yet seen them institute a whole African American case study. So how the heck you go just skip over one and get to other? But then again, you know, that's what we've been going through our whole life, right? You know, once we think we're happy, they just go on in there and kick in, and just crazy, I tell you. Let's see. I'm just saying. What do y'all think about that? What do y'all think? I think we need to protest. How about going to march? It's coming up springtime now. The springtime coming up, and hey, we can do some marching. You know, in the middle of marching, we stop, have a barbecue, you know, get us some watermelon, and then oh, Lord have mercy. I know that's just not right, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I just got an answer to my question. They say Mexican could be classified as Latin. Oh, okay. You know, I was off there wondering that. Yeah, I can't be marching with Al Sharpton. You know, let's talk about Al for a moment. Let me talk about Al for a moment. Now, Al say he helped and he wore a recorder, but he wasn't a snitch, but he gave the FBI some information. Well, from where I came from, you're a rat, Al. You know what I mean? You're a rat. You know, I don't care how you look at it, how you try and dress it up, and how you try and do everything else, you're a rat. No, own up to it. You quickly tell other people to own up to what they do, so you go on and own up to it. You was a rat. You was one of those spies that they used to infiltrate our black community to help tear them down, because you sure hell ain't trying to build it up now. And then, to top it off, you got this TV show on TV, and Granny Gunn just say, well, don't the mob kill the rats? Well, see, Granny, he had protection. He had protection. Yeah. See, that's why he had that perm on. You know, that perm was protecting him. The microwaves and stuff couldn't get through the perm that he had, and so he got away. I mean, he did mention that they had threatened his life. Sure did. So, but I don't know, man. You know, I think if you did it, you did it. Say you did it, be done with it. Heck, quit trying to backstep, and you know, they got you on tape. Come on, do the thing. You know, isn't that something that drives you crazy about these dang old politicians, man? They just don't. If you did it, you did it. Like that one guy out there, you got caught kissing that woman. Okay, you got you some sugar? Fine, you got you some sugar. Own up to it. Your wife ain't going nowhere. Know why? Because she already know you've been doing it anyway. And she probably got her a little bit on the side, too. I'm just saying, you know, it's amazing. It is. But, you know, we have those walking around as though, you know, they're better than everybody else, high and mighty. And yeah, that's what I say. Uh-oh, I see I got my two sisters and now I got Ebony and Sister Goni in the house. Well, when I saw you with your hand up, you want to continue, you want to still talk, come on back. You know what I mean? Come on, let's do this. You know. But yeah, Ebony, oh Lord. But yeah, Mr. Sharpton, just gonna head up to it. You know, he's not the only one. You know, he's not the only one. But it's amazing how, you know, they let certain things come out. Now, as he said before, and I'm not gonna get on him, he has said that this is nothing new. But then again, why let it come out and put it out now? You know, does that make any sense? I don't think so. I don't. But hold on, I got to see somebody with their head up, so let me go there and bring them in. All right, 111, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
It's been out there a long time that Sharpton has been an FBI informant. Who he mm-hmm. was wearing a wire on, and that he wore a wire on the mob. That's what's new. That's what hasn't been out there. But it's been well known. He got what makes him a rat, and a Snitches, the way he came about that, he was in the middle, he was filmed and taped in the middle of a big drug deal. And they approached him afterwards, and he went to work. And believe me, taking on a task like that, you have to be feeling the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be feeling the pressure, because that's not just average cooperation. That's some Donnie Brasco risk your life cooperation.
Okay. You know, I wouldn't.
So
even...
if he were in the middle of a large drug conspiracy, and if you look it up, it's out there. If he were in the middle, he was loosely brokering a deal, and they approached him afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he got caught up.
Well, you know,
that's how he got caught up.
You know, I whether he got caught up or not, I really don't care. But the thing I want to say is, you know, just say, okay, yes, I did it, and keep going. You know what I mean? You know, because either way you look at it, you're told on somebody. You know, in the hood, you know what that means. That makes you a snitch, or rat.
He put a spin on it. He put a nice
yeah.
spin on it, actually. Because he's not a thug. He's not. He's mm. He's not. He's not a savage. He doesn't live by the street code. These people threatened his life, so he cooperated and told on them. He put a nice spin on it. He put the best spin on it that he could.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, and it does make a difference. It does make a difference if someone is compelled to become informant and do something like that, or if someone just does it just to be doing it.
Okay. So when you say compelled, what do you mean by when someone is compelled?
Well, by him being in the middle of that drug deal and facing possible conspiracy charges that can probably get you 30, 40 years in prison,
mm-hmm.
that compels you.
Yeah, okay. I see that. I see that. Okay, that
but
makes
I
sense.
I think the whole fact that he was involved, look
mm-hmm.
it up, that he was involved in a large drug deal makes him more of a hypocrite than anything else. And it's too bad, because he's a real sharp, well-spoken guy that fights the good fight.
No, he talks the good fight. He don't
That's
fight
the,
no good
half
fight.
The fight is in talking. The majority of
yeah.
the majority of the fight is the talking heads talking and influencing and polarizing people.
Mm.
The game's mm. all talk. What do you see on CNN, MSNBC, and Fox Television? You see somebody up there talking. That's all you see.
Mm.
Somebody in front of a microphone speaking, whether it be the commentator or the politician or the business person or whatever, whoever's trying to push their agenda. So,
mm-hmm.
At any rate, it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. I mean,
none of the dark coming to light.
Yeah. Like, ain't that what your parents used to say all the time?
Yeah.
You know. So what you think about Texas thinking about adding Mexican-American studies courses?
Well, I've got a little different opinion than you. I don't think you can separate the history of Texas and Mexico.
You don't think you can?
Well, I know that you can't, because Mexico, Texas was Mexico up until 1845.
Mm-hmm.
That's not that long ago.
Right.
And it was Mexico and Spain for hundreds of years before that.
Mm.
I don't think it's that big of a deal. But I would also, well, I don't know, maybe blacks have been to, I don't.
Oh, what? What? I'm listening.
No, I was going to say that Mexicans have a stronger history than blacks do in Texas, but I'm sure there were black folks doing the work there for quite some time. But I don't think you can separate Mexico and Texas. If you're teaching the history of Texas, you're teaching the history of Mexico.
Okay. Well, see, here's the thing. How are you teaching that history? You see, you understand what I'm saying, Beasley? I understand what you're saying is, even though you're teaching, they're teaching it as Texas history. Is they are teaching it as they are teaching Mexican history, but aren't they? You know, just what in the world? But there are some things that they leave out. I'm sure.
but I think Mexicans in Texas and the whole Southwest and Latinos, they're intertwined.
They're intertwined
deeply, definitely. Of course, they're intertwined.
You know,
the 150 years that this area, that this part of the country has been America, is real short. If you put it in terms of this, you know, how much time has passed.
That is true. That is true. We just think
it's
a lot of time.
What do you think
is
going to happen with? I'm sorry, but what do you think is going to happen with Al Sharpton?
Nothing. You know what? No, only thing this did is gave him some publicity. And if anything, I don't think who you work for, CNN or whoever, I don't think they are. Yeah, I don't think they're gonna get rid of him or anything like that. You know, it's just going to be like, okay, let's move on. You know, there's more things.
Even if they did, he seems to be resourceful and connected enough, have a name, enough name recognition to find a gig doing something else or find some other hustle. And I'm sure that's not his only hustle. I'm sure he keeps it moving. I mean, even if they took his job, and I don't know what they would take his job for something that happened 25 years ago.
Well, I mean, let's look at the CEO, Missoula. Remember Monday? He donated just $1,000 in 2008, and he lost his job because he went against the grain. That's crazy, though. But yeah,
you know, that's a good point. Now, I bet if Al were to come out and talk and say something off the cuff that didn't look too good to the gay community, I bet if he made a anti-gay speech right now, you'd probably lose his job by Friday.
Friday? No, what did they know? By Wednesday evening.
Right. By Wednesday evening. So, no, that's the truth. That's the truth. That's a protected class right now.
Okay. That's a protected class. That's all I'm going to say about that. That's all I'm going to say. It's a protective class, y'all. Y'all heard, remember, that's what Mr. Beasley said. Yes, it is.
Aren't the gays a protected class right now?
I don't think they're protected. They're the ruling class, apparently. That's what they are. I'm not even going to say protective.
Well, they're a protected class in that the critical talk about anything and everything gay is going to get you shunned and hushed and fined and fired and everything else. I mean, and that's just the way that it is. People are going to have to learn to adapt.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it is. They're going to have to learn to adapt. So, in other words, what you're saying, people are going to have to assimilate to that type of lifestyle.
No, adapt and assimilate are way two different things. And when I'm talking about adapting, I'm just talking about you can just keep your opinions to yourself.
That's what it is. Okay. But dang,
that's what creates a civil society. And that's why you see, that's why people think people on the internet in comment sections that they're so off the hook. They're really not that off the hook. It's what people really feel. But in a civil society, you know, I'm sure if you're standing in line at the bank and you see someone that's obvious gay, or if you saw a gay couple together, you may turn your head and not like it, but you're not going to do anything to go bother those people. I mean, even if there's two gay guys standing in front of you, holding your hand, and you're there with your son, you know, you probably might not like it, and you might turn the other way, but you're not going to go stand in front of them and go tell them that they're wrong. And that you don't approve of their lifestyle, and how dare they do that? You're just going to move on with your day, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I explained it to my son.
Huh?
I would explain it to my son, yes. But you're right.
Getting asked?
Right. Long as they don't bother me, okay.
Right. You know. That's how civil societies works.
Hmm. And that's what you call it, civil society. So now, and so now in this so-called civil society, we our tongues are tied as to what we can say and to who. And that makes it okay because they are the protected people now. No, they've gone through their civil rights battle, and now all of a sudden they have come out on the other side. They've been to the mountaintop. They're coming down the mountaintop, and they rolling, and they got everything going, and nobody else better say anything to them. Is that basically what you're going with?
That seems basically to be the trend. That seems to be the push.
Mm.
That's what's definitely taking place. A Division I college basketball player from University mm-hmm. of Massachusetts just came out and said he's gay. I don't know why that was important for him to say.
I'm glad you said that, Beasley, because I don't understand why either. You know, I read that also. I was like, okay, so,
right?
You know, why? Or is it? You know, okay. And maybe that's why he did it, because it's so, you know, regular now, I guess. Accepted, that's the word I'm looking for. It's so accepted now. You know, everybody can come out of their little holes and closets or whatever. All right, hold on. I got somebody with their hand up, so let me bring area code 313 in the house. 313, welcome to the show.
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Talk. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Sister Ala. How you doing?
I'm fine. This is Adwa in Detroit.
Yes,
and,
ma'am.
I was inspired to call because Mr. Beasley sounds like he's very acceptant of this abnormal behavior that we see so prevalent in our society, and really it's not our society. And this abnormal behavior that we're witnessing has always been a part of the European culture, okay? It's not anything new for the European, but we're seeing it so overtly in our communities now. We've had gays in the church, in the choirs, and that kind of thing, but it's never been as prevalent as it is. It is abnormal behavior. It is an abomination. And if people are afraid to speak truth, how can we possibly correct things? You know, even if we just look at our community, the black community, homosexuality has become so prevalent. We don't know if it's the food, if it's all the pollution in the air, the fact that our family structure has been broken down to such great extent. We don't even have the extended family anymore. So we have a lot of things that are impacting our community, plus the agenda of depopulation. What better method would it be to turn everybody into homosexuals, you know, because there will be no procreation. And we don't know what we're getting in the test tube. So, you know, we have to be able to speak truth. And mm-hmm. it's unfortunate that we are not aware of who we are and what our culture is about, because that is not a part of our culture.
Very, there's some very strong points there. And I agree with you. Beasley, are you there? Okay.
I'm listening.
Yep. Okay. Now, you know, and Sister Ottawa, I really thank you for that, because I was about to say that, you know, homosexuality within the black community anyway has become glamorized, you know. I mean, it really has, with shows like Housewives and all these little fashion shows, and, you know, it's wrong. I'll just go put it out there.
Well, you know what, Mr. Talk?
Yes,
if we can think about any kind of activity that we might get ourselves involved in, we always go over the top. We're going to be the flashiest. We're going to really shine in that thing that we do. Now, I live in Detroit, and I'm in a community where we have male prostitutes during the summer and at night. Mm-hmm. On the streets here. And I want you to know that some of them brothers that dress up like women, they looking kind of good now. All right? They have perfected mm-hmm. They have perfected this so-called imitation of femininity, okay? They're looking pretty good. So, you know, I don't know who's doing all this work, but there's something definitely going on that where our black men are under attack. The prison industrial complex where they're housing all our young men, that's, you know, homosexual factory, the prison. So, and for the women, too, as well. So we really need to be able to look at this and see how it's impacting our community.
But let me
not
ask
to
this
just
question.
Embrace it.
I understand.
I'm sitting here in amazement at how this turned from a strictly a gay issue and now race is the primary factor.
Well, race is not the factor. I'm speaking of the black community and what I see in terms of homosexuality in my community. I can't speak for other communities, but I know in my community, the black community, it is an abomination, and it is over the charts. I mean, it's happening. I mean, there's so many young people that feel that they're homosexual, and they've never even had sexual experience.
Does this bother you?
Absolutely it does, because I look for the future.
How does it affect
and
you?
And in order for me to do that, we need to procreate.
So if you were to see, like I proposed to Mr. Talk, if you're standing in line at the bank and there's a male couple in front of you and they're holding hands and whispering in each other's ear, doing like lovers do, you're gonna speak to them and tell them that you don't approve of their lifestyle?
I don't have to speak
and that
to
they're
them,
wrong.
Nor do I have to even give them my attention, Mr. Beasley. I'm speaking of my personal feeling about the activity
so
of
what
homosexuality
would you do
and what I see it is producing. It is not good for the black family structure at all.
What would you do if you were to see that?
I see it every day, mister.
What do you do?
I don't do anything. It's not my business. I'm not concerned about people's bedroom, what they do in their bedroom.
It certainly,
but when
sounds,
it's all
like
over
it
the
certainly sounds like you're concerned
we
what
have
people do in their bedroom.
All folks in high places who endorse homosexuality. I'm not with that at all.
It certainly sounds like you're concerned what people do in their bedroom.
I'm not concerned with it at all.
Yeah,
I'm just expressing my opinion.
Okay, I can stop all this yammering. All right, hold on.
This is my opinion.
Right. Right. Now, see, here's the thing, you know, Beasley, she's not talking in case of, you know, their little bedroom. She's talking as a community, how it's hurting our community. That's the, if I'm not mistaken, if I'm wrong, Sister Ottawa, let me know. But I think that's what you were talking about, correct? As far as
exactly.
How it's hurting our community, you know, and how it's putting such a stigma on our community. I have a question though. Are homosexuals born that way? Or are they just created? I always had this question.
That's learned behavior.
This learned behavior?
Most young people who are involved with homosexuality, that's something they've been touched when they were young people, and they have just gravitated towards that activity. We see a lot of things in our community, the dynamics between men and women.
Mm-hmm.
Abuse in the families. Often these types of activities will have quite an impact on young people growing up and watching abuse in the house. So a lot of these things, along with the propaganda that we see on television, it's everywhere. So we get the impression that it's okay. But it's not okay.
Oh, okay. You're right. It's not.
I mean, it's not even a healthy activity. It's not a healthy activity for men or women.
That you are correct.
But
could you have, what?
Am
Go
I
ahead.
Still, oh, but if it's not a healthy activity, then you shouldn't indulge in it, and you're going to be all right.
I don't indulge.
Then you're all right. Then you're good. Then you don't have to worry about that, or you don't have to worry about the downside of that activity.
Well, I have grandchildren. I have grandchildren
and
young
you have
people
no, you don't
who are
have
in the
that
school
much control.
System where this type of activity is being promoted, where there are classrooms for young people in the first through the third grade talking about what homosexuality is. Come on now.
And you have very little.
I'm not exposing my youth to that kind of activity, but once you take your children outside, you don't know what they're going to be exposed to.
You have very little control over the choices that your grandkids are going to make.
And so the only control I have, and you're right, the only control that I have is talking to my young people and giving them the truth. That's the only thing that I can do to protect them so that they will have information when they get in a situation. They have a reference that they can pull on. And that's how we're going to save our young people.
Oh, wow. That's what I'm talking about.
Save them from homosexuality. Save them from homosexuality.
Hold on, BC.
We will save them from homosexuality.
All right. Hold on. I got somebody else who came in. Let me welcome Renee to the show. Hello, Renee. How you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. I heard the topic, and I definitely wanted to say something. I am working on a documentary about what seems to be an increase of homosexuality in the black community and the emasculation of black men. And I have done extensive research, I mean, beyond. And I have to agree so much with the lady who was speaking. You know, one thing I think a lot of black people don't know or may know but don't want to look at is the fact that the black community actually has the largest percentage of LGBT in our community than any other race. Why?
Mm.
Why is it that black men, black gay men specifically, when they get HIV, they die faster from it and they typically have a harsher situation with the illness?
Mm.
Why? Why is it that all of these things are going on? And the fact is that, you know, as black people, sorry, but we are reactors and not proactors. So we like to wait till something has happened so bad and gotten so far gone, then we can step up and then say, oh, my gosh, and complain, you know. But by that time, it's already happened. So right now, a lot of people are either people are agreeing with, yes, there's a gay agenda, or people are trying to pretend that there's not one. There clearly is one. And a lot of people, you know, I do not come from a religious stance on my documentary I'm doing or any of my feelings about it. And the reason I don't is because people will automatically give it no credibility because, you know, you cannot determine someone's religion. So in talking to a lot of gay people and giving my opinion, they would always say, oh, well, that's the Bible. This, and I say, no, I said nothing about the Bible, nothing about religion. So right here, if you look at, and you don't have to be religious. Just look at the facts. Look at nature, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not hard to see. It's not hard to understand. But in the black community, we have several issues contributing to this rise. One of them is we're about three to four generations deep in single motherhood being, you know, encouraged in the black community. So you have an absence of fathers. You have a large black male prison population, which, as the lady said, is a gay factory. You have also biological factors, you know, even to the cleaning products, they're saying contain things that help to change your chromosome, okay? We have all, and then add in hypersexuality. Black men have more testosterone than any other race of men. So you add in that element.
Oh, where'd you get that stat from?
It is true.
Where'd you get that stat from?
In my studies I did on Africans.
Can you give me a footnote? Can you give me something that shows that stat's true?
Sure. I'll have to get it.
Right.
But let me just finish what I'm saying. Black men have more testosterone than any other man, race of man. You put that together, we have a lot of course, athletic abilities and so on and so forth, like naturally. But black men tend to be hypersexual as well. So when you make all of these factors into one, you come up with a big problem. And nobody wants to really look at this or address it. And like I tell people, because people say, well, you know, what's wrong with homosexuality? And it's they loving each other and gay marriage and all these kind of things. But what I tell people is don't worry about the Bible and all that because, again, I'm just telling people from real life. But look at the fruit. Think of homosexuality as a tree. Is the fruit that it produces healthy? The fruit that is produced, is it healthy? And it's not.
Nope.
It's not healthy. If you look at anything from the disease rates to anything of the prevalence of suicide and mental illness, and this is not about bigotry, so to speak, because these tests were done in Amsterdam in one of the most pro-gay environments. And gay people still had like four times the rate of suicide than you know, heterosexuals. There's a lot of things going on there, and people don't want to hear the other side. And people are being fooled because what the gay people are doing with this thing, especially for gay marriage, what they're doing is just using code words or emotional words. So you will hear them say things like, we are in love, because love elicits a positive emotional response. It elicits you to think of something good and happy and pleasurable. But they're not telling you the other side of it. So then people begin to say, well, they're in love. Oh, let them go ahead. And that's exactly what's wrong with the society. It's because our silence is being taken as acceptance.
Wow.
And that is a huge problem.
Our silence.
Yes,
so let me ask you, ma'am, if you were in the bank and you were standing behind – obviously gay couple, men that were holding hands and, you know, canoodling with each other like lovers do, would you say something to them that you don't approve of their lifestyle and you think they're wrong and they're an abomination? Or would you just continue on with your business?
To be honest with you, it really depends on how I'm feeling at that time.
I would possibly
approach them. Yes, I would. I would possibly approach them.
Or you
depending on how I felt at that time.
And, aren't you extra? You really would do that? What part of the country you live in, my ass?
I live in the Midwest.
And you would, and if you saw a gay couple, a male couple holding hands and canoodling with each other and doing the things that lovers do, you would. What do you think you might say to them?
I would say, you know, and I would speak very nicely and kindly to them. And I would say, you know, hi, young, especially, okay, let me clarify, it needs to be black.
So if they're white people, you don't. If they're white people,
okay.
You're not
hold on.
No, because this is interesting, man. This just shows how wild people are to me.
Let me get in here. Thank
all
you.
Right.
All right, Michael. You know you be boom. All right, look. You know, and I just received a text that made a lot of sense. You know, a lot of this started with that. What was the title then? Metrosexual.
Right.
Y'all remember
right.
that term? That's where it really started at, and then it just has blown. You know, just exploded on, you know, out in the public now. Like Renee was saying, it's not something, and Sestado, it's not something that hasn't been around. You know, it just it was more hidden within the black community. But as I mentioned before, with shows such as The Housewives of Atlanta, Project Runway, you know, where these cats are on TV all dressed up, they look stupid looking hats and stuff. You know, it's just put it out there, and
they got on purpose.
It's terrible. Yeah. But hold on, let me bring JC in, because I know JC been waiting patiently. All right, go ahead, Mr. JC.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Talk?
Doing fine.
Good. I want to make reference to this stuff. It just bombarded so many people at one time, and I understand what the young lady is saying on the other end. You know, she's done all her research and all that good stuff like that. You know, that's fine and dandy. As I say, always, you know, we can talk real good about a lot of things, but we have to kind of cut that stuff into little pieces. And what I'm going to say to the young lady there is
okay, hold on for a minute. Hold on. Wait. Before you get started, JC, hold on for a minute. I'm gonna ask you a question.
Oh yes, sir.
Have you done any research or any documentary into homosexuality in the black community?
Oh yes, sir. I know plenty about that. Oh yeah.
Okay.
I know plenty about that because that's between black men, black women, transgender.
Here's the reason why I'm asking, you know, because in a lot of instances, you know, people come on here and say, well, let's take this apart, but you know, they have no information or no knowledge themselves. So, you know, I just wanted to make sure before they try to disclaim someone, make sure your qualifications are up. Okay. That's all I'm saying.
I got you.
Go ahead.
Oh no, I'm not. See, as far as, let's say, the transgender part, okay, first I want to say, you know, it's not all black men that's on the down low, because when I hear something negative concerning, you know, me as a male, then I'm going to do my research on, because if people keep saying things like that, I'm going to do my research on the other part when it comes to females. Okay. Now, this little thing about, you know, real quick, I'm going to go through this real quick. The thing about the black men being on the down low and on the prison, that's a bunch of bunk. Just like she said that people are going to say this than the other. Now, that is something that is not true. There are more black men in college than there are in prison. So I went and checked the prison population of the black females, okay? And as far as the statistics are concerned, I'll tell you where I get mine. The Department of Justice, everybody can go there and check. And guess what? The black women are bypassing the black men in prison, especially their young ladies now. So you can't really say that anymore. Now, as far as a bunch of stuff happening in prisons with the men, okay, turning into transsexuals. I used to work around women that turn themselves into men. So when you address and you say things about your black community, you have to understand that you can't take sides. Just like she stated, we don't say things about certain things in our community, okay? Now, we're not saying anything about our young ladies going around acting as if they want to be men. They're going down in the dumpsters, you know, with other young ladies. And they're not saying anything like that in the black community. They're just focusing on the black men. So, therefore, what's happening is you're getting hoodwinked and bamboozled because you're concentrating on one area. You're not concentrating on both, okay? Now, it don't take a lot of books and this, that, and the other to go out there and stand on the corner and see what's happening. There's not so much research you can do because people are going to put certain statistics out there for you to believe certain things are happening. And while you're all happy and you're focusing on that, guess what? They're over there, they're preparing for you too. See? So you can't go and just put it on transsexuals. Now, one thing about that, I'm going to make a remark on that. Now, I'm from the Midwest. You know, and the young lady says that's where she's from. I'm from Chicago, okay? Now, I've never seen a woman or any man approach anybody in Chicago and tell them, hey, you better stop holding hands, because that's one thing you don't do in Chicago. No one is that brave to say anything like that, because ten times out of ten, you're going to get your rear foot, and that's a fact. I'm talking fact. From the west side, and if you know anything about the Midwest, if you're from Chicago, the west side, you're not going to go around telling people anything like that. Now, as far as men, you know, they're holding hands or whatever they do, The women do the same thing, okay? That's just what they're going to do. We can't control what they're going to do. That's just like telling a person, don't go to church, okay? Don't go to church, because we don't believe that's like an atheist is telling a person to not go to church or person.
Can I respond to you really quick?
Yes, ma'am.
Sorry not to cut you off. And also I wanted to tell the guy who asked me about the where did I get that fact from, go to academia.edu, and it will tell you that black men do have
I've already researched in the time that I've been on hold. There's some studies that say blacks, there's some studies that say whites, and there's some studies that say no difference. It just depends on what study you want to choose.
Okay. Well, anyway, you asked me for that. So, anyway,
right.
But I wanted to say with what he's saying. No, he's absolutely right. I focus on both, the men and women, because the women on the women's side, it's outrageous as far as, you know, the same thing going on. However, what I'm saying about black men is there's a huge problem there with the fact that men typically are the leaders of a society, of a culture. In the black community, we have our men are not at the helm anymore. They are not leaders. They are not guiding us. And that's why it's very important for men, it's very important for men to get on board. Because if they get on board, that helps dictate what women do and able to build families.
Yeah.
So
that's a statement right there. That's a statement that the media put out there, and it's basically like you're repeating the same thing that the black men need to get on board.
There's some truth to what you're saying, though.
Right.
There is a bitch made, irresponsible segment that's come up in black folks the last couple of generations in particular.
Right.
For all the reasons that we all know.
And I'm agreeing with her on that, Beasley,
right.
But what I'm saying is that when she say black men need to come up and do this, that, and the other, okay? Now, see, there's a difference. You have to understand that there's a difference. There are black men. There are black men that have not grown up, and there are kids, okay? In this generation, not my generation, but the young generation now and the generation right before them, they have not had a chance to grow up. How can they become a man if they're being raised by a woman? They cannot have the same attributes, so it does not – you can't keep saying that the men need to step up to the plate, because there's a lot of great black men out there doing a lot of stuff. I consider myself a great black man because I have an organization that helps young men out, okay? And what I do to them, basically with them, is I show them the first sign of trouble, basically, you know, is to the first sign of success. Okay, let me finish, just like I let you finish, please, okay? My thing is to not say black women this and all black women that. What I'm saying is you have a set of black women and a set of black men or try to be black women and black men that are not out there doing their part. And what you are seeing most of the time are the people that don't care in certain communities. But if you go out and you do your research and you walk around and the people you associate yourself with, you will not see that. I see plenty of black families out here, nucleus families, getting along together, doing great things. So what's happening is that you're adding gasoline onto the fire. Instead of looking for the negative, why don't you switch it around and go and look for the positive? Let me tell you why. Because it's so easy to see the negative, and no one wants to spend that extra time to go see the positive. So I don't agree with that part.
Okay, let me say this. First of all, I never speak in absolute. So I never say all black men this or all black women that. Never. That's ridiculous to say that. Now, some of what you said I can somewhat agree with, but the reality is, if you go now and you look at the black community, especially in low socioeconomic places, you see what is the result of black women running households for the last, 30, 20 years, if not longer. We right now, what's going on is the result of that. That is why I speak on black men needing to be at the helm, needing to be leaders, and black women needing to step back.
Let me finish.
I don't like to keep doing this without some type of facts. And let me tell you this. In the black community, we have 74% rate of born out of wedlock. So you can say all that you want about black families, this and that, and where you see them and where you're at. But the numbers don't lie. And that's a reality, that we don't have the structure, the foundation of a mother and a father in the home anymore. And all of these issues are as a result of that. And I understand what you are saying about focus on the positive. But see, that's where they get you at. Because if we're focusing on the positive, then the negative is continuing to accumulate as well. We've got to look at both sides of the coin.
Right,
and that attributes to when I say black people are reactors and not proactors. Because we have a possibility
you
now.
Have a problem because you want to get last word because you want to feminize men.
I don't want to feminize men at all. I want men to be men and women to be women. We're going into a gender-neutral community. And my passion about this issue came about from seeing the emasculation of black men and seeing black men so feminized.
Mr. Talk, you got a lot of interference.
Do I?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't hear anything.
Now it's gone. Well,
okay. All right.
Somebody's... Okay, but, I hear what you're saying as well. But, see, we got to look at what's really going on because if we look back at gangs and all the things that have happened in the
black community. Let it happen. I'm not going to let it happen. You're trying to put shame.
I'm not.
Go ahead.
Look, when you make a choice in life to do what you want to do, then you make that choice. The problem is, though, now that we're having a huge number of people going in that direction. As the other lady said, I care about the future of the black community. If we are not making children and building families, then we are dying, basically is what's happening. And again, if you look at the numbers for everything, they do not lie. And you can say what you feel and what your opinions are, but at the end of the day, the numbers add up to what's going on in our community. We are not the only ones who are gay. There are gay people in every race on this earth. But look at this. Okay, for black young men, the things that black young men are into, that are heavily participating into, have been hit so much with homosexuality recently, with the rap, with the hip-hop community, with basketball and football. Those are three things that black men are heavily associated with. And all three of those things have been under major attack with homosexuality and emasculating of black men, from hip-hop to wearing the skirts, wearing the dresses, wearing cash tops and all
that's,
these types of things.
I'll agree with you. It only seems like
they had Jason Collins come out. They had big, major interviews all over the net, all over the magazine cover. Same thing with Michael Sam. So they promote that hugely to say, hey, look at this black football player. He's gay. Look at this black basketball player. He's gay. Look at these rappers who are supposed to be tough black men. They're gay, and they're wearing dresses and skirts. This is the reality. This is what's going on.
A gay rapper
was
signed yesterday.
Can I add something to you, what you're saying, sister? I think, and I'm very hopeful for my people, and the thing that gives me hope is that the young man that was speaking earlier, he used the term transgender.
Mm-hmm.
Transgender is when you, a man or a woman, is reconstructed in their genital areas towards the opposite sex. So the man would splice his penis
and create a vagina. The woman would do something. I guess she straps on something. I don't know her. I can't imagine
right.
her building something from her anatomy.
Right.
But in the black community, very few transgenders. They still keeping their penis, all right? So
yeah.
and if they doing that, then we need to engage them into some dialogue, and maybe we can reprogram his mind and get him back on the right track.
You're going to go save
now,
the gays now.
I don't know what the sister's her study has been about in that regard, the transgender as opposed to just the homosexual. But I'm pretty sure that, and the homosexuals that I have spoken to, they have not cut their penis off.
Right.
So, and I'm talking about the men, and there are plenty of women everywhere. And I'm not speaking of the homosexual population. I'm speaking of the whole population, male and female. Our young women strapping their breasts down, cutting their
uh-huh.
hair down.
Uh-huh.
Wearing the crew cuts, and, you know, we used to call them, my peers, back in the day, we called them dykes, the women that
mm-hmm.
were kind of hard, okay?
Right.
Well, we're finding a lot of young women in the high schools who've never
yes.
had a sexual encounter,
yes.
feeling that they have an option in terms of their sexuality.
Right.
Well,
right.
I never in my personal life, I never thought I had an option. You know, I had a mom and a dad, loved them both,
right.
and I just kept stepping forward. I never thought about anything like that other than when I was exposed to it. If I saw it, I knew what I was going to do and what I was not going to do. And
right.
I think that has a lot. I mean, in terms of our young people getting set. And knowing what their direction is going to be in life, you have to make an agreement with yourself. You got to say, well, no, I don't want to do no heroin because I saw this man, he was drooling and sleeping.
Exactly.
I don't want that in my life.
Right.
We have to give our children information. We cannot send them out into this world without information. That means we need to sit down and talk with them. Have dinner with your children. Talk with them and find out what happened in their day. Something could very easily, they could have been touched inappropriately in the schoolhouse. We must talk to our children.
But see,
conversation, you know, I'm a little frustrated because the people that we're talking to, these are an adult.
Right.
You know, and we know what's right and what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just look at what happens to someone's body, when they're doing things that are perverse,
right?
You can see it.
But sister, let me say something real quick. And somebody in the chat room is saying being gay is not wrong. But again, it is wrong. I'm going to just say that, in my opinion, okay? In my opinion, for me, okay? Now, for someone else, I'm not saying that it's wrong for them to do it, but for me, okay?
Well,
hold on a second.
Can I just ask you this? You're the lady that said that you would, that it's quite possible that you would speak to the gay couple you saw in the bank, that you would say something
yes.
to them.
Yes.
So if you feel that it's not wrong for others, or, if you know, that you let up, that you live and let live, why would you say something to this group, that this couple that was in front of you?
Because, again, when you, like the lady was saying, we need to engage in dialogue. And so I wouldn't come to them and say, hey, you are wrong, you are evil for doing that. It's all about how you speak to someone. And if I were to just start engaging with them, hey, how you doing, and having a conversation, it might lead into, I wouldn't say you are wrong for this. But I may ask them questions. I may engage with them.
Ooh,
you're coming from
ooh,
an aspect of me just going up and going off on them. Absolutely not. I would not do that.
No, I just see a conflict between you saying, hey, what I do is what I do, and what other people do, that's their business, because that's basically what you just said. As to what you said earlier, that because if you saw this gay couple in front of you, that you might engage them, whether it's negative or positive or whatever you're trying to do, the only reason why you're engaging them is because you don't necessarily agree or have concern about their lifestyle, which I can add, their lifestyle has nothing to do with you.
Yes, it does.
How does their lifestyle have any? Oh, you said if they were black, you would speak to them, but if they were white or Asian or Latino, now what if it were a mixed race gay couple? Would you say something to them?
Wait a minute, let me answer that.
The whole philosophy of living other people's lives and deciding what other people should do, people need to sail their own ship, mind their business, because you guys don't have any say-so, any control. No, you don't have any say-so or any control, and your opinion is really invalid when it comes to other people's lives. And I agree with you that there is a gay agenda, and I don't necessarily approve of homosexuality. I'm not homosexual, and I've never done anything homosexual.
I don't believe that.
You don't believe that because I have
I believe you gave your position. You are advocating homosexuality.
I'm not advocating anything. Right. I'm advocating.
Yes, you most certainly are.
I'm advocating living my life and minding my business.
But let me just share this with you, Mr. Paul.
I don't understand what's so wrong with living your own life and minding your own business.
You want to talk about the impact on the community in terms of homosexual activity. These brothers that are on the down low, that don't divulge their full activity, but they go home and they have intercourse with their wives or their girlfriends after digging up in somebody's behind. And when they have bacteria on their penis and they go up into a woman's vagina, they leave bacteria in her vaginal tract. This bacteria grows. We have a high rate of young women having hysterectomies because of this bacteria that has grown in their vaginal tract into their uterus. So when we talk about behavior, we have to be able to look at it, the whole gamut, because when you are digging in filth and you're coming around other people, you're exposing them to that.
Yes.
Who's the talk? Can I get in?
If we don't talk about like this, let's go and get down dirty with the shit, because this is a shitty shit.
It is. It is.
Okay.
Hold on.
You know what?
Wait.
Okay.
All right. Hold on. Go ahead, JC.
Okay, you know, see, this is the thing. I think that, you know, what she said to Beasley, I think that was really despicable. I mean,
you don't call women hoes on the air, brother.
I didn't talk to women.
Don't even try that. Don't even try it.
I never did that.
I haven't really called any woman any hoe. I might have called a guy or two a hoe in here, but that's another
okay,
story.
Okay, let's get back to what we're talking about, please.
Anyway, what I was saying.
Go ahead and defend me. She hurt my feelings.
Okay, so what I was saying is, you know, I don't think that was right. But one of the things that, you know, I do want to say, okay, again, all right, now to the young lady that said that she would, and I'm not going to get excited now because all that's gone, okay? The young lady that said that she would address someone that was holding hands and tell them this was not right, okay? Now, as Beasley said, they're going to do what they're going to do.
That's a mute point. Why don't you all get into the meat of it?
You know what?
Instead of dealing with this little stuff about somebody you see on the street. Nine times out of ten, the average person with any kind of reasonableness would not walk up to a homosexual couple, be it male or female, and say anything to them other than keep it.
Can I get in, please?
All right. No, I'm finna get in right now. All right. we gonna let y'all calm down for a minute because y'all about to get hot and heated up in here. Look, you know what, though? I was listening to everybody, and everybody has made some very, very outstanding points, you know. But, you know, as far as walking up to someone and just saying something about them, I mean, if they're, how can I put it, if they're over-affectionate and just out there doing, you know, kissing and carrying on, I got my child with me, yes, I'm going to say something to them. But let's be honest, though. Let's be honest about this thing. Most, besides the young ladies now, most homosexuals and lesbians, you won't know who they are. You know what I mean? You don't know who they are because they're not going to put themselves out there like that. Not in everyday life, unless it's just in their environment. Now, once it's in their environment, then, yeah, you can go in and do what you want to. Now, another thing is, I had a whole lot of thoughts while y'all were talking. You know, I'm trying to find my thoughts, y'all. Hold on. You know, I heard a lot, but where does the abuse come in at? That's what I wanted to say. Where does abuse come in at? Does that play a big role in our males and females, you know, deciding to go the route they do? You know, and it's interesting because the females, they're bolder than the men. You know what I mean? They're bolder than men. And it's just crazy. It's crazy that, you know, we're talking about this, and yet you can see it every day on the street. And really, let's be honest, you know, they packing booties and the other ones rubbing thighs and what have you. So, I mean, really, what can we do? Really, what can we do? All right, I'm going to open your mics back up, and please, y'all, act like adults, okay? Thank you. Okay. Right.
Can I get my chance now?
Okay.
Please?
Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Now, you know, you did make a good point there, Mr. Talk, that Beasley did. And what I was going to ask the young lady, that I'm just trying to be fair. I don't advocate for anybody but human beings, period. I can't tell anybody what to do and what not to do, okay? Because these days you can't approach anybody and say anything you want to them. That's just like me going up to a counter or something and a black woman is in front of me, and because if I feel that it's not right that they put dead people's hair in their head, I'm not going to tell her, well, you know what, sister, you should take that dead person's hair, that DNA out of your head because you're trying to be like a Euro black or something. I wouldn't do that. She can wear all
out of your hair.
She can wear all the weave she wants. She can wear it and look like her cousin get on the Adam's family for all I care. You know, but I'm not going to say anything. So how would that seem if I do that? She would probably most likely turn around, get loud, belligerent, nasty, use profanity and everything. And I've seen enough of that I stay away from that type. So,
Mrs. Renee, can I speak after him?
Yes,
so I'm
Renee.
Sorry to cut you off the point.
So okay. The only thing,
all right.
that's all I was saying is that, you know, if a gay person have a problem with a black woman with weed, he should be able to, or he or she, the dyke, or the gay man should be able to tell that woman that weave is not right because that's another person's DNA, and a lot of that DNA actually come from India because they buy a lot of that hair from India because if they actually be doing a sacrifice to God in the temple, go on the internet and look it up. That's where a lot of that human hair is coming from. It's the men hair and the women hair that's getting that long DNA mixed up. So I'm just throwing that out there just for you to know.
Well,
so I'm done.
All right. Well, thank you. And I got hands up all over the place. So let me bring Brother Zadien and Brother Lowe into the house. Welcome, gentlemen. How y'all doing
yes,
today?
Shalom. Yes, I'm a young man, 25 years of age, out of Detroit, Michigan. And I've been paying attention to our people for a long time. And I've been listening to the show for a minute. But as far as what we can do about this situation is, we have to be real men and women and take responsibility for our people and our children. Too many of us have been accepting this. Our children and the youth see adults accepting this. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I'm always listening to this show. It's always some older black man trying to advocate and support wrong. It's a sin and a shame, you know what I mean? I feel very disgraced to even sit here and listen to my elders try to support and advocate some sick behavior like this, knowing what we are and what we should be as a people.
There's one thing, being someone that fits the category of what you just mentioned, there's one thing to advocate for something. It's another thing to mind your business and accept things. Now, for instance, in the barbershop the other day, the little boy was playing with dolls, the little Spanish boy. And I told him, I said, man, put the doll down. And so I guess I did intervene right there because I just didn't think that little boy playing with dolls was cool. But a grown person or any other person that's gay, that's their business. That's their business.
I've been sitting here listening to the show for a while. And every time somebody makes a comment against homosexuality, you're advocating it. You're wondering why they have to do this.
No, because I live in the real world. Because I live in the real world, and I understand that there's going to be diversity around me. Okay, and I've lived in major cities, and I interact with all. And I've interacted with all types of people. Okay.
So what?
Well, that makes a big difference because it's about being tolerant of other. It's about being a tolerant of other people. It's about being tolerant of other people and minding your business and sailing your own ship.
You're gonna.
We've been minding our business for too long.
Exactly.
Really?
Exactly.
Yeah.
We've been minding
our business and turning the eye and turning our face, you know, turning our heads to situations for too long. And that's why
you're going to change somebody's behavior. If you were to see that couple, let me just ask the question. It won't take 15 seconds because I've asked it so many times. I'm just going to ask you a question. Ask both of you the question, and then I'll let you answer. If you were in the bank, and in front of you there's this gay couple,
about the bank.
But let me just ask you this question. Answer it and say what you have to say.
That's a gay
advocate
question.
What is the point of the bank thing? What is the point that you're trying to get across?
The point of the bank thing is how we interact out here in the world. And how with other people and how we interact in the world. Because that's what matters.
With the black community? What does that have to do with what's going on?
I didn't introduce this. When we first started this, we were talking about gay with Sister Ottawa that introduced the black community into the equation. And then you bought into it,
We should be worried about our black community because that's where many of our children are living at. That's what they see on a daily basis. So yes, we should include our black community. Come on now, everybody don't live in the suburbs. You know, and if they see it walking around them, somebody need to say something. Hold on, I got Michael coming in. So let's see what Michael got to add to the conversation. Lord help us all. All right, go ahead, Michael. Wait a minute, Mike, before you get started. I'm sorry, Brother Lowe. You had something you wanted to say?
I didn't want to cut in on the brother that was coming before me. He got cut off because an old man that's not going to say anything against it. He felt violated. That's all it was. You're violating him because you're telling the truth. It's far too long.
I don't feel violated at all. Don't tell me how I feel. Speak about how you feel.
I'm going to say exactly how I feel. For far too long, as men, we have sat by and watched and wanted somebody else to take care of our neighborhood. It is up to us as men to take care of our own responsibilities. When you go out and ask another man, hey, come in my house, pay my bills. Hell, you can sleep with my wife if you want to. I'm not man enough to handle my own responsibilities. That's the exact same thing the older men have did in our communities. They sat back and a lot of them run into these churches every Sunday, playing church. They doing wrong, so how the hell can they tell anybody else what they're doing is wrong? So to start with, if we sit back and say, well, it's just the way the world is. No, it's this is the way the world has become because it's what you decided to accept. Years ago, and I'm not going to play with words, the faggot of the neighborhood, everybody knew who he was, and it wasn't but one or two. Mm-hmm. And if it was more than that, they hid it. They wasn't all out flamboyant with it, all over the place with it. And now, if you turn the television, if you walk out your own door, if you go to Walmart, you have a 3-, 4-, 5-year-old child with you, you got to tell them, hey, this is wrong.
Yep.
This person is wrong. So how can you say, well, as long as they keep it over there, I don't care what they do.
Mm-hmm.
They bringing it to the person that you have to. You got to tell this person that you are responsible for, hey, this is wrong. And for you not to say, hey, you're a man, bro. You don't need to conduct yourself like this, man. You're a man. You wasn't made for this. And if they don't like it, so be it. You did your part in the whole equation. And for far too long, feminized, emasculated, effeminate men have stood by and watched black men, so-called black men more especially, have sat by and watched their own community go down to nothing. Young boys would rather be young girls in the black community. White men don't call the police to fix all their problems. They don't call on the neighborhood leaders
right.
to fix their problems. They fix their own problems. And so do the Korean man and everybody else. Only the black man needs the help from everybody.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's a shame, and I'm sick of them.
Somehow the one guy was talking, you can tell the level. This is what's going on in some of the people in the chat room. You can tell the level of desensitization of the black community. We've been starting to become so assimilated, and now we're so desensitized to this type of behavior. And no one person, like the other man was saying about, you know, the bank and all that, but no one person lives in a vacuum. We all are in a society and a community together. So
no.
what other people do does affect. Because if
Absolutely.
You look at, like, gay marriage being passed, right, and you consistently hear gay people say, oh, it's not going to change anything. It doesn't change anything. Okay, first of all, you cannot change something and not change it. That's number one. But number two, if you look at a very good video was done on Massachusetts, and it was one of the first states years ago. I think it was maybe 2003 or so, I'm not sure. Maybe or a little later than that. But they were one of the first to ever, or if not the first, to ever legalize gay marriage. Well, it talks about all the changes that have happened. And it talks about now how in your schools with your children that, you know, they have to be, by state, it's mandated that they are taught about homosexuality starting in elementary school. So the kids have books. One of them is called King and King. One of them is, I forget the name, it's two male penguins raising a baby. And it is another one, something like my dad and his roommate. And this is serious. And it's putting it on a quote-unquote child's level to introduce them to this and normalize this behavior. So if
that's
they can get them
that's
very
exactly
young.
What, that's exactly what they're doing. And
if
I don't,
they can get them very
and I don't
young.
Approve of that. That's exactly
and
what
then,
they're doing, too.
And as it increases, as they go older in age, it gets worse. So even up to middle school and high school, they now have these things called a little black book or something to that extent. And it's telling teenagers, it's telling young men how to have sex with another young man, what they need to do, what this, that, and the other. This is what's going on. So when people say it doesn't change anything, it changes everything. It changes the adoption laws in that state. So if you are a man and woman, and unfortunately you cannot have a baby, but you say, you know, we're going to go adopt a child. Well, you may be turned away because then they will give that child to these two gay men. Even though no child has ever come from two men, they will say, you know what, mom and dad, we're not going to pick you. We're going to pick dad and dad. No mother in the home, but we're going to say this child is there. And they actually chose a gay couple, y'all, as parents of the year. And this
wow.
is what we have going on. Yes, and people do not know.
Make
wow.
Grow up. No, that's, hold on. Let me bring
back get some comments, please. This is,
ahead,
this is crazy. How you doing? Well, first of all, very good points. Well, let's talk about this homosexuality being taught in kids. When you talk about the Christian Bible and you tell your child that homosexuality is wrong,
as soon as you talk about the conversation, you're talking about homosexuality. Whether you're telling the homosexuality is good, you should accept it in your society, whether you sit down and tell a child that homosexual is bad, you're still talking about homosexuality. And look at the concepts that you're instilling in those children's heads, factually. Because you're raising adults that's going to be totally biased against another individual. Now, I understand there's certain things, but I'm not too radical. Everyone is not going to live exactly like I am. There's other customs, other ethnic groups in the world, right? But what I'm hearing is a total bias. Now, if you see a boy playing with a doll, I mean, that's not, to me, that's not my business, me personally. If he's playing with a doll, I'm not going to tell him down who gave him that doll. I don't know what's going on. He may be playing with a G.I. Joe doll. Some religious group is saying don't play with no images. So if he had a male doll, a certain image would tell him to take his doll down. Which one are you going? We have to judge each other on our actions. And I'm going to ask this question and I'll be quiet. Any heterosexual male or heterosexual female, can anybody make you gay? So why are you scared? I'm looking at myself. They
yes,
can't
they
make
can.
Me.
Yes,
so,
they can.
Well, okay. Well, nobody can make
yes,
me, man. That's all I have to
yes,
say.
Let me tell you how they can. Let me tell you how they can.
If they can make
okay.
you gay, you've got some gay in you somewhere. You got
Let me
some
tell you how they can.
You.
Let me tell you how they can. Okay. Now, if you talk about young people, specifically young people, okay. Most of them are in a state of, you know, hormonal levels and all of that kind of stuff, right?
They're
and it
horny.
May be a young man. It may right. be a young man who's heterosexual and he's into girls. But now coming into this, being in this
right.
society where experimentation is encouraged, where it's being pushed, hey, you can mess with a boy. You can mess with boys and girls. And if this person, and you say he might have it in him, but that's not the point. The point is, many people don't know what's in them until they are in a position for it to be brought out. So then if he's in this
okay.
position
All right.
and
so
it's
let me
being
ask you,
encouraged.
So let me ask you this. Let me ask you this.
Hold on.
So let's say the popular heterosexual boy in school who's having fun with the cheerleaders and everything. Let's say, you know, one of these sly gay dudes in school pulls him to the side and they have a homosexual encounter, but he doesn't do it again. Does that make him gay?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Yes, it does.
Okay,
I'm going to tell
so
you why. Because
has,
if you as a man.
He has that one encounter when he was 16. He said, oh, wow, I didn't like that. He said, you better keep this on the hush. He said, I'm going to keep it on the hush. And he goes back and he goes on and lives a normal heterosexual life. He's considered gay? Or was
I would
he just gay
say
for
no
that day?
In that case. In that case, I would say no.
Okay.
But that's the thing, though. That usually that doesn't happen most often. And I'm going to tell you why.
How do
because
we know
when you open Pandora's. Okay, but listen. This is what I'm saying, though. It may or may not. But typically when you open Pandora's box and you have a sexual experience that you enjoy, you are likely to repeat it again. Now, for those who do not
like it,
then that was the case. Then that was the case.
That's what she's saying. That's exactly
yeah.
what you're saying. You know, if you liked it, then you may want to dabble a little bit more. If you don't, you and leave it the heck alone and go
you,
about your business. Okay?
But see, how do you
so
know
me,
if you like something till you do it? That's why I'm saying you don't need
but,
to. We don't need to put children in the position to try
right.
something.
And let me make a little comment here from something what Michael said. You know, Michael, I just want you to clarify something because basically, if I'm understanding what you said now. You said that, you know, as far as your kids, you know, you're just going to let them go out there just blind. And what they run across and they deal with it. Is that what, if now I'm saying, I'm just asking you the question. Is that what you meant?
I never said that. Why would you say that? First of all, I never said nothing about my kid. I was using Beasley example if I'm walking to a barbershop and I'm seeing somebody else.
Okay, Michael, calm down. Just answer the question. Oh, sometimes I think you've been playing in the tampon box.
Hey.
Let me bring Ebony in. Hello, Ebony.
You
how you doing?
I'm good. Hi, everyone. Hi.
Hello.
Yeah, well, I wanted to say that I just think it's an interesting conversation, and I kind of wonder what happened to some of the people who feel very, very strongly about, you know, some of the changes in our society. Where have they been? Because, you know what, gay marriage came in, and it's interesting, it came in very quickly, and there wasn't a lot of great protest out there in society. A lot of people, I expected the churches to kind of do a real big gay marriage, I mean, but they were very quiet, very silent about the whole thing. Maybe they were silent because they hoped it would just go away. Interesting thing, it's not going away. In fact, you know, from the conversation you guys are having, it's actually, you know, much, much bigger than we thought, and it is on our doorstep. And I don't know if we can stop the trail or the train from crashing, but I think it really is healthy to have the conversation, because I think a lot of people feel it's too late and there's no point in having a conversation now, because it is everywhere. You know, people are free to walk down the street holding hands and kissing, and we see that in the UK all the time now, much more than we did see it a few years ago. And it used to be just in particular areas, like, you know, the city and the bar, where the bars are. Now it's on your high street, and I think people are afraid to protest and to say anything's wrong with it, because nobody wants to be singled out as, you know, being anti, you know, diversity. And I don't know that it is. I think we're not talking. I don't know if it is anti-diverse to say, well, actually, I don't want it around me. I don't want to be able to see people behaving in that way, because, you know, do I have to come out and say I'm heterosexual to anyone, and do I have to prove to the world that I'm heterosexual by my behavior? No, we don't. So why is it so important for people who make a sexual choice to be a certain way, you know, for them to put it on everybody else and everybody has to see it and accept it, you know, or if you do come out and you say something about it, somehow you're going to be the bad person, people want to move you off the street or whatever. So, you know, I'm a little bit worried by, you know, the fact that people now are afraid to protest or say anything is wrong with anything in our society anymore. So that's where I am.
And see, that's what I said.
How are you going to ban hand-holding in America? I understand you don't want to see two men walking down the street holding a hand, but how are we going to ban this? Are we going to ban tattoos? Are we going to ban a man wearing two earrings?
Man,
it's not about banning that.
People with a neck tattoo, it makes my skin crawl.
But let me tell you, it's not about banning that. It's about having a society where people feel comfortable enough to sit up and be two men holding hands, kissing all over each other. It's not about banning people, gay people holding hands. It's about we are fostering a society and a community that says, hey, it's okay. Kiss all over your man before you leave in front of everybody. That's what it's about, is it's okay, it's acceptable.
Well, it may not be okay, but people have made it acceptable, and that's the problem you've got. It's not that it may be okay with you. It may not be okay with a lot of people, but there aren't many people who are going to step out and say, actually, I find that unacceptable. Because
Renee would. Because I would look at them
yes,
in their lives.
And the problem
because
is,
I can look at their
it's
lives
coming
too.
A while. It's been coming a while. And I'm not so worried. I have to say, I'm not so worried about those gay people and how they behave around me. I'm worried about the people who are gay and are on the down low. I think they're more of a worry. And I think ever since Teddy Pendergrass was found with a transgender person in his car, which had that accident, you know, I'm worried for the amount of men who act like real men and are on the down low. And there are a lot of them, you know. Even was it Eddie Murphy that was found with somebody at one point? You know, it just goes on and on and on and on.
Who
get found with, you know, on the down low. So,
and Eddie Murphy got seven kids.
But I want to say something to what she said. I want to tell you why. You said that it seemed like it happened all of a sudden with gay marriage. The reason why it seemed like that is because it somewhat was, but this has been in the works since the 80s. But the situation is that the family, the American family, and we don't even have to talk about the black community, but the American family is so broken, and it's so changed from how it was, that people were not really looking at marriage as highly anymore. There was already so many issues going on with the family changing. So gay people were able to shoot in, to come in, and then say, hey, we're going to push this gay marriage thing through, because people were not upholding it. There's so many divorces and different things going on. So that opens the door for them to now come in and say, we want to marry.
Well, that tells us not to be, you know, not to have our view taken away from the real issues in life. We're so interested in what's going on in reality TV and all the bullshit that comes through the media that most of us are not focused on real issues. When the real issues come along, we don't see them, okay? And then we want to complain after it's happened. It was there a long time, but we were diverted by other bullshit that was going on in the media.
Ebony, I think gay marriage is one of the biggest non-issues of all. I think it's a fabricated issue that creates division among people, because people feel so strongly when the topic of homosexuality comes out.
Well,
it is an
issue. Say it's an issue, but I say there's a bigger issue, and I think the down-low issue is the worst one. Because if you're a dog, be a dog, okay? If you're a cat, be a cat. If you're gay, be gay, okay?
But the down-low issue
side,
is...
Do what you want to do. But, I've got no problem. But if you're backing on both sides...
But why come out and be ridiculed by you?
The down-low issue is a societal issue. Okay?
Yeah.
But gay marriage is, well, it's a societal issue too, but it's also a legal issue.
Yeah.
The legal definition of marriage, but what it brings to the forefront is people's acceptance or non-acceptance of gay people. And it's been a continued discussion. It first hit in California out here when gay marriage was approved and people started getting gay people started getting married. This was back in 2004, and it's been a hoopla and a roar and more. It's like a ball that keeps on rolling.
Yeah, a snowball. It just was the snowball into
getting
the,
bigger,
big
and bigger,
you
know, and bigger and bigger. And all
I
of the stuff that people
brothers.
Say about the let me just
I,
finish real quick. I'll be 10 seconds. I mean, I'll be 15 seconds. All of the things that people say about this push, this gay agenda, the stuff in school is true because I see it with myself. I see it with my own eyes.
Yeah.
I realize that it's true. But in the same respects, living in a civil society and living in cities and living around people, I don't go out of my way to worry about what other people are doing. That's just the way that I'm cut. That's how you survive in the city.
But I guess, unless it impacts on you, and if you had young children going to school and you're trying to, you know, it's hard enough as it is with, you know, the way that families are broken up these days and, families are holding it together. But if your young people are also going to school and are vulnerable because really you've got no control when they're in the system, unless you decide you're going to school your kids at home. And some people do have the choice to do that. You don't have to put your kids in the system and have other people teach them. So, you know, that's something that maybe we should think about in terms of taking back some of the power. Maybe doing some stuff about managing our own, the education of our own children and not leaving it to the state to educate them. That's all I'm saying.
This is really a new thing. The past five years.
But if you have a social studies class in school, you're not going to talk about different people in your society, because as we go along, as gays coming out and they're part of our society, you do have to educate. No one is saying educate them to how to, you know, have gay sex, but you have to educate different people in your society. That's what
you can make it
for.
But he works
the educates them in their own words. The church educates their children on homosexuality in their own way. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
and
okay, but listen,
Wait a minute, Renee. Hold up, Michael. I just got to ask this. What church teaches the kids about homosexuality?
Well, listen, when you tell your child that the act is wrong, you're teaching them about it. So if you can go through a verse in school, I mean, anybody, they can listen to their preacher talk about it. It's wrong.
Church,
you can go through a verse
church,
and say
churches and religion encourage marriage. Churches and religion speak about marriage. They encourage marriage. They encourage a man and a woman together, getting together, getting married, and having kids. That's encouraged.
Well, you know, having been brought up
people
in church,
get married,
I have to
people
say,
get married in church,
so they did encourage the opposite. And they did encourage the opposite.
I was going to say that in churches, the debate does come up about homosexuality, and it does because even in the church when I was growing up, there were people who, there were families who found that, you know, maybe one son had gay tendencies. I still remember someone in church, you know, really reputable family, you know, big family church in church, and the son was found with his gay lover by his dad, and my dad, kind of being a man of God, was called in, and there was a discussion about it. And it did go into, you know, we talked about it in church. You know, is it right? Is that what God wants? And, of course, the answer was no, it isn't what God wants. It didn't stop the guy from being homosexual. It didn't stop, actually, other people in the church coming out and being homosexual over the years.
But see, let me say something.
So it's there. I'm saying it's there in every aspect of our society. I guess the question is not about awareness. The question is, how do you propagate? Do you want people to propagate some of the aspects of homosexuality that we don't all agree with? And it isn't that we're saying those people shouldn't exist, they shouldn't be around. Of course, it's everywhere. But what
now,
we don't
you know what?
Is our children may be told about,
but
you know, how
to... You're saying stay in the closet, though. You're saying stay in the closet.
Hold on.
I don't want my child to know how to make love to another man.
Thank you.
Exactly.
You know, hold on for a minute. I got the question. You know, and this is, I'm glad y'all brought that up, because I think this is where everybody has a little bit of trouble with, you know, because if you go from the Bible, you know, the Bible say, you know, it's an abomination, what have you. Now, on the other hand, the Bible says you should be tolerant of these people and, you know, love them regardless. So, you know, and contradictory, yeah, maybe. So, you know, and we all know the church ain't teaching all that. I mean, it's not doing it. But in the same thing, you know, it's hard sometimes to distinguish the two, especially if it's thrown at you.
Let me say, I want to say something real quick.
Hold on, Renee. Go ahead, Renee.
Okay, I just wanted to say, too, I'm going to say about what you just said, but about the guy who was saying about why should they come out, the DL dudes or whatever, that's a cop-out. That's a cop-out. Because if you are bold enough and you're strong enough to go have sex with another man, then you should be bold enough and strong enough to put it out there. So that's a cop-out right there whenever people say that. But I wanted to say to you about the church, the situation is, in doing some of my, you know, research about this, some gay people told me, gay men said, one of their first ways they places they learned about being gay and started engaging in homosexual behavior was in the church. So the black church has helped, if anything, to foster this homosexuality amongst men, black men, in the community. And also when you talk about the Bible also says tolerance and everything, this is what I always tell people, too. They say, well, God loves everybody. But the thing is, I don't hate the person. I'm not against the person and who they are and their spirit of kindness or meanness or whatever it is. It is the sin, so to speak. It is the behavior for me that I don't agree with. It's the behavior of homosexuality, not the individual.
Ma'am, Renee, with all due respect, shouldn't you be concerned about your own sin instead of someone else's sin? Let me finish the thought. Someone else's sin isn't going to send you to heaven or hell.
But that's not the point.
What's so wrong with failing your own ship and worried about your actions and what you do? And
okay,
I'm speaking for everybody, because that's how I live my life.
Well, we shouldn't be concerned about Trayvon Martin, or we shouldn't be concerned about black men killing each other, because that's their sin. But that's their sin, though.
Okay, all right, hold on. All this yelling not going. Y'all know I ain't doing that this time. All this yelling is not happening.
I think the point that Renee made, though, is an interesting one, because the church tries to, on the one hand, say it's wrong for homosexuality, but on the other hand, also, they try to prevent people from being open about what their sexual feelings are, knowing that it isn't something that, you know, isn't in the church. It's in the church. If the church was more open about it, and I'm not saying they should be accepting of the behavior, just open about it, because it's, you know, when people say that's who I am, that's who they are. Let's just accept people for who they are. We don't have to say that we are condoning the way that they may go about in terms of sexual habits, but we should accept that they do exist, and that's a part of our community.
They cannot hold any positions in church.
Behave differently.
Mr. Talk, can I get in?
Yeah.
They cannot hold any positions in church.
Well,
can I make a statement, Mr. Talk?
What are you asking?
Okay, hold on for a minute. All right. I had all this noise in my ear right there. All right. Say again, JC. Was that JC?
I was trying to make a statement real quick.
What was the statement?
I know the young lady pointed out, I don't know if it was Ebony or whomever, but both of them are on the same note there. But they made a statement as far as the church teaching. They're teaching men, black men, how to be homosexual or something to that effect. Regardless of, you know, what type they're teaching in the churches, it may be wrong, and they're telling them it's okay, or however, I don't know. But it's not that many black men in church. You know, it's actually more black women in church than it is men. And we have to look at the fact that, you know, I know what a lot of men mentioned on here about the homosexual, or like the basketball stars and all that good stuff. But no one ever mentioned Juanita Bynum, which was head of her own church, who decided that, you know, she said that her husband beat her up for some unknown reason. But she came out and told everybody, well, her husband really didn't beat her up. What she was doing is she was chasing women. And that's what the cause of their marriage breakup was. So once everybody found that out, what Juanita Bynum did is now she's leading the gay she's leading them. And then remember the female star that came out also that said that she's gay, Robin Simone or whatever her name was, the little cute girl was on Bill Cosby. There you go. You see, we're like I say, they're hoodwinking and they're bamboozling you to think that it's only black men. And as long as let me finish, please. I didn't interrupt you all. I didn't. I'm not going to go that route again. Only thing I'm saying is that when you concentrate and you continue to keep saying black men, black men, black men, you have to address both the black men and the black women, because it's a problem straight across the board. It has nothing to do with just one section of people. Now, you know, we cannot control what the gay community does. My question to everybody on here that has a problem with that, okay, if someone on here can say that they have an organization to where they have been fighting against the abomination, please let me know, because you're saying a lot of stuff, but I don't see anybody saying that they have taken any action. Kind of think about that one for a second.
I have, Mr. Talk.
Okay, hold on. Yeah, so hold on. Let's get Sister Ottawa, let her get in. Then I got to bring Maze and Miss Lady in. So go ahead, Sister.
Okay. First of all, I wanted to say that as families, if you can look back into your family, when you went into the church, you went into that church as a child. Now, in the Catholic Church, we had fathers and missionaries that traveled all over the planet introducing Catholicism, Christianity to the world. And along with their words of Christianity and love and all of that, they also took their behavior, okay? So even here in the United States, we have all these cases right now of young men who were abused, and they're going into the courts now for retribution, okay? And we were looking to these fathers and preachers and all these different folks to lead us to the promised land, okay? So we had a lot of faith in these people, and we trusted these people. But look what has happened, not just to the black community, the Hispanic community, to the European community, being exposed to these men who wore the cloth, okay? Now, let's move on. The young man asked, what can we do? Okay, I'm sure everybody listening on the radio has someone close to them who has taken on this lifestyle, this homosexual lifestyle, be it male or female. But what do you say to those loved ones? Do you talk to them? Because, see, I talk to them. I can go back in my family where someone came out of the prison, a female, and she had a lover when she came out, okay, and wanted to bring him on home, introduce her to the family and everything. She did only one time because we dealt with that issue right then. When they went in to prison, they weren't homosexual. But when they came out, they was talking that jive. But we had a nice conversation, and that was done. We weren't going to have that in our household. We had children.
Mm-hmm.
And our children loved their family member. So we're not, oh, absolutely not.
Mm.
So you have to put your foot down where you are.
You're right.
We can't,
right.
I mean, how can you just turn your head? That's just like incest. You know when someone is abusing someone in your family, and you know it, and you're not going to discuss it. You're going to let the person just run rampant in your family. See, our problem is, and I'm talking about us, black people, our problem is that we don't have any cultural awareness. We don't know who we are. We've been miscegenated into a European culture, and we are trying to fit in, and we cannot fit because we're 360 degrees, and we're trying to fit that circle into a square.
Mm-mm-mm.
So
wow.
We have to be able to say, well, you know, I know what I'm going to do. I know what is expected of me. And move forward on that. We can't just say anything goes, you know. And if there is homosexual activity on the corner, then I'm going the other way. I will not be partying and drinking and eating with people who don't have a like mind with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I don't hang out with gay guys. I don't have gay guys as my friends. I don't bring them into my world like that, so I'd agree with you there. But I just have a different opinion as far as living and let live and sailing my own ship and not being too concerned about what others are doing that's not affecting me. And I can't. And all of you make good points. But, you know, some of us, I can't be that concerned with society when I don't have that much sway and pull over society.
Hmm. Interesting.
But you participate in society. You
absolutely.
Know, you use. Let me just go back and
okay.
recall some of the words that we have
hold
used.
On.
Hold up. We got other
hold
calls.
On.
We, you know,
yes,
we
I
have
bring...
used some words in this conversation.
Okay,
like when
hold
I
on,
was...
Sister Ottawa. I'm sorry. I got to get the other callers in. I know if you get started. Hold on. Okay, let me bring Maze and Miss Lady in. Hello, Miss Lady and Maze. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Wow.
Hello.
This is a big topic. I just have one thing to say. I agree the down low is much more insidious and dangerous than being openly gay for women. And I know men get tired of being the focus man on them. However, it's not gay women schools who are spreading HIV and AIDS is down low end. So,
yes, they
Well, not to the degree. No, they are not. And the reason, no, they are not.
It doesn't matter what rate they're doing it.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on.
And not with
hold
opinion.
On.
Okay? Well, you
hold
need
on.
To look at the public health statistics. Okay? First
wait a minute.
Of all.
Hold on. Wait a minute. So, wait a minute, Ms. Lady. Hold on. You know, let me clear this little argument point up there. You know, I understand that it's one of those, okay, some say down low men doing it, with, but the problem is it's being spread in our community. That should be
exactly,
the issue, not
exactly,
exactly who's doing it.
But I'm just addressing the point that Ebony was making, with, and I agree that it's the down low men that are primarily spreading AIDS and HIV within the black
and
community.
And down low women, too.
And that is, you know what, you can say whatever, it's an opinion and it's not true, okay?
It's so, not true
anyway,
on your end either.
It's not true, and I'm not talking to you. Shut up. Okay, the second thing is...
Go ahead, Miss Lady, go ahead.
Okay, the second thing is, I think this is, whatever happens in the macrocosm happens in the microcosm and vice versa. I think all of the social ills have already been strategized, and it's already been years ago. First, there had to be a destabilization of the nuclear family and the destabilization of greater society. And that's happened very effectively, from high unemployment, you know, to the globalization of the economy, to all of this, to promoting materialism, which promotes a lot of disappointment, frustration, and jealousy, and therefore you can't have healthy relationships on the job, outside the job, within your families or communities, pushing the drugs, making money off the prison industrial complex. They know when you put in young adult men in prison, as well as young adult women, which has been have skyrocketed for small offenses, there's going to be sexual activity. They already know that. In fact, they find that scientifically that when you put a man, you depress him and cause a lot of unemployment and a lot of depression, and you put him in a contained space, his sexual desires escalate. They already know that. So when they do that, there's a twofold benefit. They're destabilizing those black men, therefore destabilizing the black family, right? They're also making money. They're always going to make money. So it's all been, all of this that's going on now has been pre-planned, strategized, and it's highly effective. Now, you can go from point to point. What are you going to do about all of these social ills? So how do you combat that? What do you do about it? Because people are arguing over silly stuff. It doesn't even matter. You know, they're so busy attacking and not listening. They're so busy, their ego. There's a lot of fact. When they say they don't know who they are, I can tell you a lot of them are angry. They are hateful. They are narcissists. They are psychopaths. So I like to have a discussion on when they people say they don't know who they are, or I don't care about who they are. I think maybe they don't know who they were.
All right. All right. Thank you,
okay,
Ms. Lady.
That's all so I can keep going on, but I know that people need to chime in. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead, Mays.
Oh, we were talking about children seeing gay people hugging and kissing. You should teach your child the difference between what he should love and what he shouldn't love, and you don't have to worry about that when they see it. That's one thing that can be done. And people keep talking about the black community. The black community is not out here trying to get no laws passed to be married to each other. And then you have kids in sports. Those kids were messed with when they were younger. And I don't see the black community having a fit about what happens to the children when they are children by grown-ups in places like sports. And then you look at the altar boys. They are suing, doing something about it, because they're that way because it happened to them as being altar boys, messing up a whole lot of money somewhere with people. But then we do not condemn those that's married and they commit adultery. We have nothing to say about that. And you look at Sodom and Gomorrah, what happened when they was doing things, that's in your Bible. So as a concern, if you want to be really concerned about what we see and the things that we're seeing, start at the bottom with the people that's doing it, not missing. I mean, looking at them after the fact. You should be looking at it before it happens. That's what I think.
Mr. Talk, can I get something in?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. All right. Now, I'm not even going to worry about that. But as far as black men are concerned, and if I can get a chance while that young lady keep her trap shut, I'd appreciate it. Okay. So anyway, because I don't like to be told to shut up, especially from long distance.
Well, you need to shut the hell up.
So
dummy.
Anyway, so what
you're
I'm saying
dummy.
Is,
that's not
first
necessary.
First of all, no one really cares about all this stuff about men being bitter, this and that, other than what we are. Because someone can say whatever they want to, but I look at it like this. A human being is a human being. And if they spoke to me in my face that way, I look at it that way. And Smith and Wesson talks to me. You're a human being.
You're just silly.
You're just foolish. You're a foolish black woman. That's all.
All right, that's another green room conversation. I hope you enjoyed it.
My address is Adiwa, please.
Wow.
I could not imagine myself at a family reunion trying to convince a family member why they're gay or not. I would shun another family member that would try to shun that other family member because of that. Me personally. You see what I'm saying? I wouldn't do that. I couldn't even have the conversation.
I wouldn't sit up in a family reunion. I didn't say that.
No, hold on. I'm just using that as an example because you're saying that if someone in your family would find out and they would come out and tell the family that they're homosexuality, despite if some of the family members may had some questions in the past, that we're going to shun them and try to convince them. No, I'm not going to try to convince their family member, no. I'm not.
I'm going to tell you, I love my family, and I sat down with my family, and we had a discussion, a long discussion, and we reasoned, and everything turned out all right.
Hmm.
But see, what people miss is the fact that, when people know better, they do better. See, gay people don't know. A lot of these gay people in society now, like I said, it's being fostered, it's being, encouraged. And a lot of these gay people have never really sat down and thought about some of the things going on in life. A lot of them have never sat down and thought, is this an agenda? Am I playing into this agenda? What is the fruit, what does the tree of homosexuality produce? Is it healthy? Do I know a lot about the long-term effects of what I'm doing right now? Can I resist this? A lot of people don't know because people consistently come at them with a religious viewpoint. And the first thing a lot of gay people will do is reject Christianity, reject religion.
Did AIDS come from homosexuality? AIDS came strictly. Did AIDS come from homosexuality?
No.
I don't know.
Okay, well,
I don't know. I can answer that. I can tell you what I do know, and that is that it spread much, much, much more easily through gay sex or anal sex, really, so to speak. Vaginal sex is actually 90% safer than anal sex.
Oh, really?
If you're talking about someone infected. And then if you're talking about non-infected, it's off the charts even more safe. But if someone is infected with HIV, to have vaginal sex is 90% safer than
why do so many black women get afflicted with AIDS?
Because there's an overlap.
Down low.
Exactly.
No,
see, let me break it down for you. What's happening is we have, again, it runs rampant in homosexual communities because of the specific type of sex they have. Okay? Now, there's an overlap from where it gets to the high numbers of gay men, especially in the black community specifically, high numbers of gay black men.
No, it's
high
not.
Numbers of gay, can I finish, please, what I'm saying?
Sure.
High numbers of gay black men having HIV. There is an overlap. There is a segment of black men who will not admit to being gay, will not say that they are gay, will not say they're bisexual, will not acknowledge any of that, will have participated in behavior, in behavior, bringing that
to
their home.
It happens. They don't want to admit it because they'll get pissed off because they're going to hell. And they're going to get, you know.
No.
Come on, Mike.
You're old enough to do it, then claim it. Don't talk
about
it. If you go out and screw a man, then you
should
be able to claim it. No, if you go out and screw a man, then you need to claim it. Don't put that on.
No, they're scared of you, man. They're scared of you.
Mike, you know the song, right? You know, keep it on the down low.
The women on the down low.
Nobody has to know.
That's a good question. That's a good question.
I have a question.
Why would anybody stay in the closet? Listen, why would anybody stay in the closet? Because of fear. They stay in the closet because of fear. That's the only reason.
No, they stay in the closet
because
they know it ain't right. No, they stay in the closet because they know it's not right.
Okay,
that's why they stay in the closet.
Hello? Okay, all right, man.
All right.
All that talking and still didn't make no point.
All right, hold on. Let's get the brother in for a moment. Dude, you there?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yes. I just want to make 2 points real quick. AIDS is a disease that was created to bring about the demise of our people. Now, yes, I feel it's a bunch of hype that AIDS is spread faster through men having sex with men because it's just as many women that indulge in sodomy as it is men. I done met some of the most religious, most upright. Listen,
I think
sister,
you should know.
Just listen to me, sister. I'm 26 years old. I done been involved with many women in many different age groups. And some of the most wisest, supposed to be most righteous women on sodomy. They want somebody to stick it in their ass. So it's going on amongst the men and women just as much. Now, secondly, I just want to say this.
Keep it real.
Europeans and Caucasians and black people in America are the only ones that accept all this wickedness and homosexuality and different acts of wickedness the way we do. Every other culture and race, they will disown their children. Some of them even go as far as killing them and slaying their children and their people for acts like this. So it's too accepted amongst our people. We too okay with too much stuff. You know what I'm saying? We the only ones accept this type of stuff. In your opinion.
So
can I say something real quick?
So if they're killing them in their society, that means gay people are still in their society despite it.
Everywhere. All over the world.
Exactly. Since ancient of time, sir.
Not like it is in our community, though. Not like it is amongst us.
I would trust that
you also have women out there who are strapping on who are not cleaning those utensils that they use also. And they're passing that on to other women. You know, so it goes both ways. We can't, this is the problem that I see. I like to have a lot of fun, but we beat each other down too much to where we're beating each other into nothing. You know, we need to sit down and say, you know what, we have this problem on both sides. It's not just one. You know, I say certain
nobody
things.
Let
me finish, please. I'm on everybody's side. Mr. Talk knows it. It takes me a little time. But what I'm saying is that, we have this problem. As I stated before, ladies and gentlemen, I'm trying to do something about it. And what I hear is I hear a lot of people come on Mr. Talk show and talk. But when I ask them, what are they doing? Do they have an organization, a 501c3? Do they have this stuff? You know? But no one is saying that they have an organization. Why is it it seems like I'm the only one who has an organization of 17 young men that I'm helping out? And no one else can see that they have anything. Why?
If you want to
make the difference, then why don't you make the changes?
Dude.
Be the change
Absolutely.
That you want to see.
Can I ask a question?
I agree with you on that.
Excuse me.
If AIDS was created in a lab, How in the world did somebody pass it on? Just like syphilis was created in a lab, so was AIDS. So it
vaccination.
Means that anybody can spread it.
Oh, okay.
Women and men.
Hello.
Vaccinations.
All right. Yes, go ahead, brother. I hear you. Go ahead.
The hog.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Excuse me. Yes, I just want to say this. They talking about what group or who's doing something about it. I'm a student and a follower of the Nation of Islam, and we raising hell about all type of wickedness amongst other people, and definitely homosexuality. And also, we got our own schools where we dealing with the program and the rules and regulation amongst these things. We doing something about it, just to let y'all be known about that.
Who?
Well, I just want to ask
a question real quick.
The woman about any about soldier being in born Islam yet. Is raising hell about anything that's wrong around him.
Mm-hmm.
I was introduced and studied the Nation of Islam in detail before you were even born. But
you
go ahead
what?
And do
so.
Go ahead and do your good works.
I mean, you know what I'm saying is true. If you've been paying attention to the Nation of Islam,
well, there's a whole lot that goes with the nation, but.
That's right.
You got to be totally right
with everything. We're not going there.
We're not going there.
Well, I want to ask the young man a question. And
I
want to
look for, I have a
from
question
the Nation of Islam. So I wanted to ask exactly what is the Nation of Islam doing?
Why are we changing
exactly
the
what the Nation of Islam is doing?
Yeah,
let's stay on the topic.
The Nation of Islam is putting in work from the prison cell to the crack house. Everywhere you go, we there. It's putting in work.
All right. So that was that question. Any more questions? Okay. I have to quiet down. All right. Let's see. Michael, you have a question for Renee, correct?
Yes, and Ebony, please don't get mad at me if I change the topic on next show. But listen, I just want to clear. You said, so according to your formula, you're saying that if no one interferes with a male or a female sexuality when they're little, automatically that male by nature is going to be attracted to a woman, and by a woman's nature she's going to be attracted to a male? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, in a certain level.
Let me explain that.
It's not as simple as yes or no. All human beings, all living things actually want to live, meaning that they want self-preservation, human preservation, That's the only way that can come about is between a man and a woman. That's it. So when you speak about human preservation, that's what it's about. When you talk about man and woman getting together. So, yes, every human being has that desire on some level. Now, when you throw everything else into the mix, it's healthy and normal for men to feel a way to women, for women to feel a way to men. When you have all these other elements being thrown in the mix, that's when our nature begins to shift and change. So it's not as simple as just saying that. It depends on the situation.
I just want to say, I'm with Renee, you know what, because just for this example, I grew up with a young man, and I've got to say he was in our community and went to the same church as us, went to the same school, and he was exposed to everything that we were all exposed to. I can say from about the age of maybe 5, we all saw the homosexual tendencies in that child. And he wasn't raised by a single mom. He was raised in a proper two-person family. He had those tendencies all throughout his life. He has chosen to follow that path. But I say the tendencies were there from he was about 5 years old. He's probably now, about 30 years old. But I followed him, and we all knew. And, when he got older and I heard he'd come out that he's gay, nobody in our community was shocked.
Let me say something about that.
What you say, I don't believe that he was swayed by
Hello?
Wait a minute, hold on.
And I don't know how you explain that. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, let me explain that for you.
if I might. But the situation is what happens, and this is from talking to and interviewing gay men that have told me this themselves, and also with scientific research. The fact is that, number one, people don't realize that up until age 12, it is completely normal, typical, average for children to have same-sex crushes or feelings, so to speak, for other children. That's completely normal because it's not sexualized yet. Children are not sexualized until they're introduced into sex in their life, be it through molestation, which is awful, or after puberty. Okay, so before 12, it's not an issue. But what happens a lot of times is some men are going to be more effeminate. That's just what it is. Some women are by nature going to be more masculine. That's what it is. However, that does not denote homosexuality. But what happens is people will see young children, a little boy, like you said, who's more effeminate. He may be more into girly type things, or he may be a certain way. What happens is people begin to project that onto him. It is a lot about the society that we live in. And people begin to project that upon him that he's gay. Oh, see how he is? And people change how they treat him. People change how they talk to him. People change how they deal with him. And this particular gay man was saying that. He said, I never had any feelings for boys or for liking other men. He said, but I was very effeminate when I was young. And people begin to project upon me that I was gay. And he said, when people, as children, we are very, very impressionable. And so when you have people suggesting something to you and constantly saying, oh, you gay, you act like a girl, you're a FAG, saying these type of things to them, he said for him, and a couple of them said this as well, they begin to think, well, am I that? Well, I guess I am. Well, this is how I act, and I see other gay people, they start to inquire, act more effeminate. And that's how a lot of that picks up. So it's not always saying, well, when they're a kid, and people say, I knew since I was a child. That doesn't denote that. That does not dictate that. It is then the environment that helps to develop that into homosexuality.
So what about people who are young and homosexuals who have strong feelings for those for the same sex, and that's maintained throughout their childhood right into adulthood? Are you saying that, you know, those feelings are not serious feelings that they have for the same sex? Because I think you will find, I hear about your interviews with gay people, but I also have gay friends who have always had very strong feelings for the same sex, and nothing's changed, which is why they believe that they are what they are.
Do you remember what you were into? So what you did at 5 or 6, does that dictate the person you are today? Again, it's
no, but I'm saying if it continues, okay, if you get that feeling at 5 years old, we all go through that up and down, you know, you can, you know, you prefer girls, then you swap and you start having affections for boys. Okay. But if it doesn't change when you get to, you know, puberty and you still have very strong feelings for the same sex, what is that? And I'm not talking about outside interference here, because I know two people, one in a normal family of father and mother, one with a single mother, and both of them maintain that they had the same feelings for the same sex, and it's not changed throughout from childhood right to adulthood. So that's why they probably define themselves the way that they have done. And I just wonder, feelings are something that you can't really plan for. What would you say about those kinds of people? Because they're not trying to make something up. I don't think they're creating something because of environment. It's just a feeling they have, you know, and they go with it.
Well, you know? I mean, I hear you. But the thing about it is, you know, there's always been gay people on this earth. There always will be, okay? And I don't have the answer for every gay situation. But a lot of times when people say, when I was a child, that is them reflecting how they feel now upon how they felt then. most of us cannot say when we were very young, we thought this or thought that, because you mature and you develop. Some people perhaps have had those very, very strong feelings, like you said. But then it becomes into, okay, well, you can have certain feelings, but what you have control over is how you react to those feelings. And that's the problem with this whole situation, is because no matter what the feeling is that people have, we are now in a society that's saying it's okay to feed into that feeling. It's okay. Mm-hmm. It's all right. There's nothing on the other side opposing it to say, hey, wait a minute. Did you know about this? Or hold on a minute before you take that step. Let me educate you. Let me break some things down to you. Let me see if this can get your will turning. But see, when you have a society, especially for young black men, and a lot of them coming up in a home without a father there, so they already don't have that man in the house to say, hold on, boy, come here, come here. Sit down for a minute. What's going on? They have no opposition to these feelings. So then that's when it becomes into, well, hey, this is what I am. Well, and once you accept your own self, see, that's the problem. People can project on you what they want. But once you accept it for you and you say, I am gay, this is what I am, then that's when the issue really becomes. That's when it really becomes an issue, because now you're accepting that lifestyle as being who you are. And it's a whole hell of a lot harder to go back once you've made that step. So that's where I'm saying a lot with my documentary, and I'm looking at it from a social aspect, political aspect, and also a health aspect, because that definitely exists. But see, we have to catch people right in that window before they take that step. Because like I said, it's hard to say if you had a sexual experience with a gay person one time that you never do it again, you're not gay. But see, that's the thing. It doesn't usually happen that way. Just like people who go rob a bank, they go rob one bank. They usually don't stop after that, even if they say, I'm just getting this money. They usually go back. So when you open that box, it's hard to close it again. So I hear what you're saying, and I don't have all the answers, but this is a society fostering this behavior.
All righty. Thank you, Renee. And we're going to end it right there, man. I tell you, whew, we could have got on another 2 or 3 hours, seemed like, with this topic here. Wow. Not great information being put out. But we're going to give everybody the last words, of course, you know, because I know some of y'all chomping at the bit to respond to what she said. So we're going to start at the bottom and work our way back up. So we're going to go with Brother Adu here and see what he has to say. Sir, your last words? Brother Adu, you there? Going once, going twice. Okay, he's out. All right, Sister Ottawa. Sister Ottawa, you there?
Yes, I am. How you do?
Okay.
Well, this has been a wonderful, very stimulating conversation. But what I would like to say is this, that most of our behavior is learned behavior. It's what you imitate your father, you imitate your mother. We learn our behavior. Sexual activity is something that we learned. We didn't, you know, just know what to do. I want to just say this, is that if we could just go back and look at our history. And I always go back because I think that it's very important that we debrief ourselves from post-traumatic slave syndrome. Now, during the enslavement period, the black man and woman were breeders, okay, because slaves were very valuable. So when a woman dropped her load after 9 months, there was a breeder on her again, because this is a very fertile period. Whether we want to accept it or not, to the degree in which post-traumatic slave syndrome exists within our lives, traumatic experiences imprints our DNA. So we can have a very traumatic response to something and not know why, but possibly during generations before you, there was a period where there was something traumatic happening to your family, and that was passed down. We're very promiscuous sexually. We start very early. We love people because they can dance well. We don't really understand what affection is. A man embracing his son and telling him that he loves him is something that is not frequent in our family. Mm-hmm. So when we meet someone that we admire, who might show compassion to us, who might show us love, we might not know how to interpret it mentally. We might not understand the feelings that we're having because you haven't been able to articulate it or don't know how to articulate it. And now I'm in a mass of confusion. Do I love this person? Am I homosexual? I'm very fond of him. And it goes on and on. And I'm not just talking about man. I'm talking about woman, too. Okay? So we have to look at all of that. And so that's what I want to share with you. I appreciate everything. It's given me a lot of food for thought. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you, Sister Ottawa. You too. All right. Let's see. Let's go with Maze.
Hello. I mean, people do their paperwork, and they talk to different people, gay people, and people have gay friends. And it's not at 12 when a child learns what he really is to know if the difference between the two. I have a gay friend. He never knew what it was to have a woman because he never had one because one of his family members approached him first. So what we did, we got him a woman so he could know what it was to have a woman. This man was 30 years old at the time, never knew what it was to be with a woman. And then you got women that had men, but the man didn't satisfy them anymore because they had too many, and they switched over to a woman, and then they went back. So did she do any research on where they go? And then you have the young kids. Now they say it's a fad. So the whole thing is confusing to a whole lot of people, or the things that we see and what we hear. So as long as they stay out of my business and don't come after me, I'm okay, because what you do is your business, and what I do is my business, because I don't want nobody in my bedroom, and I don't want to be in nobody's bedroom either. And that's the way I see it.
All right.
Have a good day.
Thank you, Mace. All right, you too. All right, Miss Ebony.
Okay. Really great conversation, guys. I have to say, I'm not certain about Renee's ideas about, you know, where homosexuality may come from and the influences. I still struggle with that because I still remember a story my mom told me. She came from the countryside. She's 80 years old now. And she said when she was growing up, there was a young boy that was found to be having sex with an animal, actually, in her village. And not only was he doing that, he was also trying to sodomize other young boys. And no one knew where it came from. They're out in a remote part of the countryside in Jamaica. And it wasn't something that, you know, where you would say, actually, this is something in an environment that would just appear. No one seemed to know where that came from. Yet, she said, as she grew up, there are more and more people that seem to, you know, be, you know, to have those tendencies, and it was always hush-hush, but every community knew that those people existed and they were there. I don't know, you know, how it starts, where it comes from. You could be right, I could be wrong in my thinking, but I tend to think that it's more a tendency, and, you know, people decide how they want to respond to that long-term. But, you know, I always say I preach tolerance. I think we should be tolerant as much as we can with other people, and maybe not shun them, but love them for who they are. That's my final word.
All righty. Thank you very much. Let's see. Michael, you up next.
All right, Mr. Talk. Real quick, they say people are born with special gifts, special different talents, special creativity, but now they want all of us to be born the same way. There was a man, a grown man, told the whole world. He said, when I grew up, mother and father are ministers. I have four other siblings. I'm homosexual.
I knew it when I was 7 years old, when I got aroused in front of my classmate. This grown man is telling you the whole world this. And see, we talk about you can't have it two ways. You can't say, well, don't come out, you know, stay in the closet, or, you know, don't stay in the closet, but when they're going to get ridiculed, it's fear, the reason why people do this. And I just want to say this. Look within your own self, and maybe she can correct herself, but she said up until the age of 12, it's okay to like the same sex. No, not me. I knew what I was when I was in, got a kindergarten pass. I knew I was a heterosexual, me personally. I knew who I was attracted to. And so I want you to look into your own lives. Forget the books for a minute. And when you want to criticize, look into your own. If you're a heterosexual, can someone change you? And I want to say this. When you talk about molestation, see, that's another adult getting aroused off of a child and abusing a child. The child is not the aggressor. So you have to watch what we say when we say molestation, okay? So, I mean, I understand what people are trying to do, and it's fear on both sides. It's fear that other people are going to be, that the whole society is going to be gay and no one's going to have babies anymore. And not necessarily everyone doesn't procreate, because some people are born where they can't have children. So procreation and having sex is just not, you know, guaranteed. So that's all I want to say. Yeah. You have another one?
Michael, you know what? If I had my toilet on here still, I'd flush that crap you just said then. How the heck you talking about when we ain't supposed to procreate? Really? You know what? I love you, Michael. But sometimes, boy, you be riding that spaceship. All right, Mr. Beasley, you next.
Nothing. He what he said is not as alarming as some of the other things that people say.
Uh-huh.
Good. I would just say live and let live.
Oh, okay. All right, then.
These people have these resentments about things that don't really concern them that much. And they feel they're doing some good for the community, and they speak in terms of the community. But I don't know. I see a lot of inconsistencies. I just see people that are intolerant, that are trying to mind some business that's not theirs.
Hmm.
And really, I don't think they necessarily practice what they say they preach, and that's the whole purpose of me asking that question. What do you say you're vocal and you need to speak out and take action against homosexuality in the community, but what do you do when you see a gay couple together? So, you know, people talk it one way and walk it another. And they have all types of things to say that are not based on science, that are just their idea, and they say it matter-of-factly. And if you challenge them on it, they'll call you a name. They'll get upset. And I'm talking about Renee and Sister Ottawa in particular. But that's just the way that it is. Because that's exactly what they did. Sister Ottawa suggested, for instance, I'm speaking what I'm speaking, and if you listen closely, I know how to use my words correctly, and I'm precise when I use them. She accused me of being gay. The other lady attacked JC and called him dumb and stupid, and he didn't do anything to attack her. He just was expressing his opinion, and his opinion really wasn't that outrageous.
Okay, then.
They're lacking in civility.
Okay, are we being sensitive now?
No, we're not being sensitive. We're just addressing the issue. If the shoe were on the other foot, and he were calling her names, or I called her gay, you would have probably taken some action against it.
Oh, well, okay. Well, I take action and I'll give her 3 slashes, okay? All right.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But it's the truth
right,
of what I'm saying. Catch
I understand.
You later.
All right. I'll go back and listen and correct it. All right, Beasley. Let's see who's up. Mr. JC.
All right. Yeah. I see you just love to mute me, don't you, Mr. Talk?
You don't know how to be quiet long enough. Go ahead.
Oh, yes, I do. You don't give me a chance. But what I want to say, you know, you got a great show. You know, and what Beasley just said, you know, you told us before. You said, you know, no cussing no one out, no calling names. You know, and I went by that, you know. But when she started attacking me personally, that's when, you know, hey, the defensive side come out of me. Because I've been respectful of your show. You know, you're shut me in.
shut me out when I need to be shut out, but, you know, I'd be trying to follow the rules. But, you know, what
right.
I want to say is that, you know, as the young lady said, you know, it's a lot of shaming language. And, you know, if you do your research on that, Mr. Talk, you'll be able to see the shaming languages that the women brought inside of the show. So at that point, as of being a black man, a great black man, and a heterosexual black man, you know, I'm going to defend black men, period, because that's just how I'm cut. But what
right.
I want to say is, you know, the sister said that we have learned the behavior. And some of the things that they were saying, they have to understand that some of that was a despicable learned behavior. You have never heard me cuss before. That is really disrespectful to come out of a so-called lady's mouth. Ladies should never do that. But the other thing is we learn to defame and we learn to shame people also. We are very good at that. We will use our words and we will twist it around to shame each other. And basically, those are basically remnants of oppression and repression, you know. So we have to go back and, you know, people who do that, and they have to regress, you know, in their social networking, okay?
Mm, okay.
So what I'm saying is that people are going to be people. If you're not doing anything to correct it, then you really can't see anything unless you're out there helping someone out. And that's all I have to say on that. We have to be respectful of each other, but we have to understand that if you attack someone, you can't expect a man to sit back and be shamed. We should never do that as grown black men. That's all I have to say.
All righty, sir. Thank you much. Thank you much. See you tomorrow, hopefully, if I be able to talk. All right, last but not least, Miss Renee. Miss Renee, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, too, that please, everybody listen back. I did not call anyone out of their name. I do no such thing. I did no such thing. I didn't call anyone dumb or stupid at all. And, in fact, everything I tried to say were things that I could either somewhat have some evidence behind or something self-supporting it. So I did not at all do that. But what I wanted to say is kind of what I heard here is what we do as black people a lot of us, is that we never want to listen to another black person. But let it have been a white person, and let it have been in someone else in a position to tell black people certain things, they would take it as fact, or they would not be as hesitant to accept it or as, you know, against it if it were
right.
a white person saying it. They may just, they may not agree, but they may go look into it. But because I'm a black woman saying these things, a lot of black people automatically don't want to hear it, or they will find a way to denounce it or discredit it. Well, what are you talking about? Well, how do you know that? Well, where's your research? Well, what statistics? This is what we do. And then when you give them, see, this is why people do this stuff. When you give an opinion, then people say, well, that's your opinion. What is the information? When you give them information, then they say, that information's not right. That's a lot. That's not right.
Huh.
It's like, what do you want? What do you want? You know what I mean? So it's ridiculous. But the fact of the matter is this is a big issue. No person, no man is an island. No person lives in a vacuum. What we do in life and society does affect other people. It's not about what people do in their bedroom. It's the fact that a lot of this stuff has become into society as a whole. It's affecting everybody because, like I said, when we pass gay marriage for state, it completely changes the state. It completely changes everything. So all that with the bedroom stuff, that's ridiculous. That's not really the problem. So we have to be clear. We have to know what's going on with our people. This is not the biggest problem, but it is connected to the biggest problem because it's a symptom of a bigger problem in the black community. And we need to start looking at it. And I will admit that my approach can be very harsh at times. But the reason it's like that is because I'm passionate about this,
It's because I love my black people, my black sisters and brothers who are both going in a different direction. And if we are not at all producing children, building families, we're doing nothing. Because when you see two gay black men together in a couple, that is an average of three black children that will never be born, that will never exist on this earth. We are already, you know, the lesser population. And so for us to be taken out, it's not going to be a huge, you know, undertaking because it's already in the process. So we've got to wake up. We've got to stop being stuck on, you know, this is my business and that's your business. That's fine. But that doesn't apply to everything in life. So thank you for this show. It's great. And I do want to say my YouTube, if I can.
Go ahead.
Okay, it's Mrs. Legit, MRSLEGIT 816, all one word, on YouTube, and I have videos about this very thing.
All right. Well, we're going to have to go and get some of those, maybe play them on the show. All right. Well, thank you, Renee. We
no
sure
problem.
Appreciate it. All right. Man, I tell you, y'all had a lot of good stuff going on today. Let me explain something, you know. I know the rules, and y'all know the rules also, and I do appreciate y'all, you know, abiding by the rules. But there's things I miss. I'm just going to be honest. There's things I miss, and I miss them, okay? But, you know, don't let retaliate, what have you. Just keep on going, and, you know, I catch up with it, and I fix it if that's what happened, okay? Don't forget, Sister Ngoni's show, I can't pronounce his name, Gosis Cardia. What time is it? I think it's 7 p.m. Eastern time. I don't know. She got to put it to me. Yeah, 7 p.m. Eastern time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. So make sure y'all go ahead and check out also. She had a pretty good show the other night, the part I could listen to. Like I said, you know, tomorrow we'll see if I can be able to talk. I'll be here. We just have to wait and see. But thank you, everybody, for participating and everybody who called in. I enjoyed it. Love y'all, and y'all have a good one. So, for tomorrow, see y'all 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, 12 Mountain, 1 Mountain Time. Remember, keep smiling and show appreciation. Forgive with an open heart, but remember, you must have been able to forgive yourself first. And the biggest and best thing, learn to laugh at yourself. All right, well, that's going to do it. We ain't got no music, and only thing you about to hear is my favorite saying, and JC like it too. But anyway, I'll see y'all tomorrow, man. I'm out of here.
Bye-bye.